And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 170.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, I know, 170. It's amazing. Wow. For a second. Okay, all right, anyway. Retailer Talk with Al Sedano. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
I'm Murray Fox.
And I'm Al Sedano.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. As it says in the title, we're having a it's a long time since we had a guest, and we thank him for coming and joining us this early, or I don't know if it's early for him or not, but it's early for Caleb at least, somewhat.
9 o'clock ain't early, but that's okay.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're back on normal time now, aren't you?
Sure.
Or is it we are the ones on the normal time?
We don't cotton that kind of stuff here in Arizona.
Yeah.
That's because you always have the light and the sun and the day.
Now, before we're
entering our 6 months of night right now.
Oh, I see. Before we get too far into it, I want to congratulate Caleb on his 25th wedding anniversary this weekend.
Yep, tomorrow.
For you.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, that's awesome,
you man. Married as a baby.
I was. We were, in fact... promised in the womb. It was all very weird.
Yeah.
Wow, her parents were Filipino. It's all no, yeah. 25 years tomorrow, we eloped. It was pretty cool. It was cheap.
Oh, there you go.
Eloping. I should have done.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you kidding now? It was such the pain in the ass afterwards. It was like great at the time, and then everyone bitching at us. Why weren't you invited? No one was invited.
That might have been preferable. I just finished doing it 2 months ago.
Oh, well, congrats, man.
So I spent out the last year with wedding stuff. I think I would have just dealt with occasional. No one went.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We were living in sin and decided that sin was. There was no tax advantage to it. And
no, there's not. Yep. I'm coming up on my second anniversary here soon. Myself.
Congratulations, I think.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Yes, congratulations.
Wasn't sure which to say.
Yes.
All right, good.
No, yeah, well, I read a thing that says it's always congratulations, usually, but yeah.
Oh, okay. No,
in this case, it's definitely congratulations. My health is a lot better from the... you know, I changed jobs and thought that was the cause of all my stress, and found out later that wasn't. So, anyway.
Oh no, it's you.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to kill me, one way or the other. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about comics.
So, all right.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's what we're here for.
So Al, you work at a place called the
Hobby Shop.
Where is the hobby shop located?
It is in Aberdeen, New Jersey. So that's central New Jersey, Monmouth County, right, pretty much in the area where the big hurricane hit last year.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, golly gee, what was that? The Superstorm, what
Sandy.
Was her name? Yes, yeah. That's it.
My previous place of employment was hit very hard by that.
So I take it you guys have fared okay?
They actually, I wasn't working there yet. I've only been working there for now a year, starting on the 11th.
Oh, cool.
Happy anniversary.
So, yeah. I'm enjoying it. I get to play with comics.
Well, yeah, there you go.
And it looks like about a gazillion other things as well.
Oh, yeah, it's a full hobby shop. Not a craft store like a Michaels or anything like that, but a hobby shop. So big train, model train section, a bunch of, you know, car models, a big remote control section for like planes and helicopters and cars.
Nice.
Sports cards. Some craft stuff, you know, a bunch of arts and crafts kits, toys for little, you know, real little kids, Boy Scout stuff, and games. Lots of games, including we have Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments.
And I see that you also do Minecraft activities as well.
Oh yeah, we also have arts and crafts activities. So we had like Minecraft and Frozen activities for little kids, you know, this week.
Wow. My nephews would love your place. They love trains.
Oh, yeah. We have a big train. We have a huge... I'll get a chance maybe later. I'll send you a video I took of it. I think I still have it. If not, I'll send it on Tuesday. We have a huge train set up in the front of the store.
Oh.
It has like 8-9 tracks.
Wow. They would never leave. They would never want to leave.
Oh, yeah, we get all those little faces stuck against it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Are trains still big? Like, I know when in the 80s, my dad was huge into collecting trains. He had a train room, and he had this big setup in this room, and there were a couple of train hobby shops not far from the comic shop that I used to go to. And then dad kind of fell out of it, and I lost touch with it. But are they still, like, a big deal?
I wouldn't say they're a big deal, but there's definitely enough people still into it that as long as you don't have too many stores in a certain area, you can keep selling it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially if you do other stuff as well. But, I mean, the trains, you're not going to sell them every day, but when you do, I mean, like, an engine's what, like, several hundred bucks?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I could sell 100 comics a day, and in a week, maybe just to equal, like, one or two train engine selling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when my grandfather passed away, the only thing that he left that was of any value was his train collection. And I mean, it wasn't like gazillions of dollars, but it certainly was. It was more than $2 or $3 for what they got for it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, all three of my nephews are off and on real big in Thomas the Train. I see you got some of that stuff there too. So.
Oh yeah, we just became an official Thomas store for Jersey. So
yeah, that's
cool.
We
have a whole big Thomas section.
Wow.
Yeah, they love that. There's lots of Thomas the Train videos on Amazon Prime. I think I've probably seen all of them at least twice. So.
I still have not seen any of it, and hopefully I won't have to.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, it's better than some of that other crap that's out there. So cartoons, but.
But when they started having the trains actually have moving faces to talk, that was really creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy. So some of them have George Carlin's voice, and some of them have Ringo's, and some of them have one of the bald ones.
Dude, they're the conductor. They were the
well, yeah, and some of them they're the narrator is what I meant. So.
Oh, Carlin? Okay, now I'm interested.
Yeah, he did a whole bunch.
Carlin did it. Ringo did it. Alec Baldwin.
I couldn't remember which one.
And what's her name? What was her name? The one who was on Benson, who played the.
I don't remember. But yeah.
Wait, which one from Benson? The maid, or are you talking about the Mona from Who's the Boss?
No, the young girl, not the daughter, but she was like an assistant.
Oh, the younger maid. No, she's like the assistant. She like started dating one of the other guys, right? She's like the one that got married on the show.
The guy who ended up being on Neelix on.
Really? He was Neelix.
Yes.
Yes, okay. I don't remember the actor's name, but yes.
I just remember the one guy who played Odo on Deep Space Nine was on there, but I forgot about the other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy was Neelix on, what was that?
Voyager.
Voyager.
Ethan Phillips. That's it. That's his name. Oh, I just remembered because the game, I play a game, Star Trek Online, and they just reunited a bunch of the Voyager cast to do voices, so.
And that would be our first tangent, by the way.
Yes. By the way, we are in tangent land. So I'm thinking about doing a Star Trek podcast.
So, you know what? The thing that prompted me to want to talk to a retailer at this point, as somebody who worked in retail, was the now yearly DC September event thing. And last year, obviously, there was a lot of news around the covers and how there was all this nonsense that there was not enough of them, of certain covers. And then this year they decided to redo it. Now, I personally was just curious whether it worked, whether DC pulled it off this year or not.
Actually, I think so. I think it seemed to go pretty well. I mean, it was a bit of a pain because, as you know, like you look at previews and it comes out 2 months ahead of time.
Right.
So for September, we would have to, you know, normally you're ordering in, July. But because of this one, I think we ordered in May for the Futures End issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we ordered like an extra 2 months earlier. So that was a pain because you're telling everybody, all the reservists and even, you know, regular customers who are just not reserving, but saying, hey, if you're interested in these, let us know so we can order them. But for the most part, they did. And the majority, I'd say 85% of the covers we got, the 3D ones, sold.
Oh, awesome.
Now, we do other things besides comics. We don't just have comics, like we said before. Our back issue section really is about 4 or 5 short boxes of just stuff that we can't leave on the shelf anymore, and we put it out in there for a buck. So it's not like it's a big place to get back issues. So we don't sell hundreds of, like, you know, we're not going to get like 50 copies of one issue and sell it. Mm-hmm. But what we did order, we pretty much sold them. So it did decently well.
Very interesting.
I think, in my opinion. At least where I was, in my opinion, it actually went pretty well. I was actually impressed with how much they sold.
Huh. Were there any ones that like last year's was the Joker's Daughter was the one that took everyone by surprise. Was there one that retailing-wise, obviously not quality-wise, but retailing-wise, that took people by surprise or took you by surprise?
Out of all the Batman ones, I know Batman and Robin. I mean, Batman sold, which I expected, but Batman and Robin did really good. That one pretty quick.
Oh man, I love that book.
So that one faster than I expected to go.
I like that new Robin in that one.
Yeah.
And you know, on the other hand, Teen Titans, I still have a couple of. So I think it was good.
They've kind of stomped that into the ground, though, haven't they?
And actually, Superman, Wonder Woman, we have a couple of as well.
What about, like, the Booster Gold? That was a non-monthly one-shot.
It did okay. I still have two or three of the regular copy of that one. All but the 3D ones, they go.
I think that's really the only one I remember reading. The rest of them, I don't. I read a handful of them. I don't really remember much about them, but that one stuck out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I read most of them, but that's the benefit of where I work.
Yeah, exactly.
So the kind of extension on that, this is obviously this month was prompted by this weekly event that they have going on. Are the weekly events working for DC, or are they working for you? Are they working for your store as a retail store?
That one, at least this one, yeah, it seems to do pretty good. Like I said, it sold enough that they kept people bought them. People bought, and a lot of people bought issues they don't normally get. Okay. I had a lot of people asking for one shots, specifically 3D ones as well, but even just regular ones that who are reservists who don't normally get that title. They just wanted that issue.
Interesting.
So I'll tell you, the cover,
I didn't see a lot of people jumping.
I like the covers a lot more this year than last year. I'll tell you, they were pretty damn cool.
I actually was in the middle of switching jobs and stuff, and looking for a new job at that point last year. I didn't get to see any of the ones from last year.
Oh, okay.
I completely missed them.
Well.
But I will say, though, in one respect, it worked for DC because a lot of people bought ones they don't normally get. But I didn't see a lot of people saying, hey, throw me on this book now. I'm not getting it before, but I want to get it now. So it seemed to be a lot of one-issue jumps for the issue, but not a lot of people jumping on the title.
Right.
That's not a lot of people saying, hey, I really now I want All-Star Western, unfortunately. So
I know. I actually, at the end for the last 7-6 months, I was the only person getting it.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
It was on the books. I just ordered one for reservist, me.
Well, I guess you're the cool kid on the block.
Interesting.
Yeah, DC has a lot more books. We only get one of or two of for reservist and don't put out. Wonder Woman, almost no one buys.
See, I love that the whole run.
Oh, I thought it was great.
I haven't.
But there's like three people getting it.
Yeah. Wow. Huh.
What's the hesitation? Do you think?
I don't know. I think it's just the stigma still of Wonder Woman. It's like the things about Aquaman from like the last 30 years and the jokes. Mm-hmm. Even though like if you read like the Peter David series, it was nothing like that. There was no I'm gonna die because I'm out of water for 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Yeah. And all I could do is talk to fish. And yet that stigma still kind of stayed. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Huh, interesting.
And yet now there's two Aquaman books.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And two Wonder Woman.
There's two Wonder Woman books now, too. So.
That's right.
Or three, technically three, if you go with Wonder Woman Superman or Superman Wonder Woman. So.
Oh, sure. And a fourth coming out soon, the 77 book.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to figure out which ones you're talking about. The digital one.
Sensation Comics.
Yeah, that's the one I forgot about. Okay.
And then, of course, Superman Wonder Woman.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
And there's a lot. The thing about Superman and Wonder Woman is it has a lot of the monthly stuff in it. Some of the like that last issue had what's her name? Strife was a main character in it.
Oh, so. Really? Huh. I didn't know that.
Was she in that, or is that the Future Zen one? Or she was in one of the Metro. You're right. Yeah.
She was in the last issue. Yeah, the follow up to Super Doom or whatever it was called.
Oh, okay. Maybe I haven't read that one yet. But yeah, they have the Super Doom crossovers in that one. But it's funny because, like, Supergirl sells really well. What we get. I've been adding more and more of that. That's been selling out for the most part.
Well, that must be why there's a series coming. Interesting.
Well, that's a good point. So Constantine just started. The Flash has started. Arrow is out. Do you see people coming and saying, hey, I saw this TV show and I want to find out what this is all about?
No one's specifically saying that, but what I ordered the first two issues of Flash, the TV crossover book, was it the Season Zero? That sold out.
That's
same thing
good
with Arrow.
Book.
Same thing with the Arrow, was it Season 2.5?
Mm-hmm. That one I haven't read, but yeah.
I've started ordering more Green Arrow, and so far it looks like it's selling pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Flash has actually been selling out for the last couple months as well.
Wow.
Constantine, not so much.
Yeah.
Well, I've just started
that. Well, and yeah, I don't think that's. Well, I don't know. It's the book now is probably closer to the TV show, I think. But I don't have any experience with Constantine at all, except for the show, really, and a little bit in Justice League Dark. So, been interesting.
But yeah, that's on its way to becoming a reserve only book.
Oh, on its way. That sounds very ominous.
Interesting.
Well, I keep a spreadsheet of what I'm ordering of each book, and I keep checking to see. So, you know, if I see I ordered 7 of a book, and I still have 4 unsold, then I have to drop down, you know, to like ordering 4 or 5 copies and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Constantine's on its way to just being gotten for reservists.
Yeah. Well, you got to do what you got to do. That's for sure. Interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately. Can't order everything.
No.
So, I tend to read Brian Hibbs's column about, you know, I'll jump in there every couple months just to see what his complaint of the month is. And I'm always impressed, though, about his sticking with his ordering system, the electronic ordering system that they use, you know, so they can track by the code on the book and stuff. Is that not something that your store has moved to?
Well, I mean, we do have it electronically where, you know, we go, when we get the books in, I have to scan them in of how many we got of each. But there were some glitches in the system when I started, so I just started doing my own spreadsheet of, okay, I'm ordering this many of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to keep track. It's just easier for me to keep track that way. And then I just keep going back and checking, you know, so something sells out more than I expected, like Gotham Academy sold out of the several issues we got. I'll just pump up, you know, I'll reorder another one and, you know, add on to number 2 and add an extra copy or 2 and see how that goes. Excuse me. Because there's also, you got to be kind of very fluid with the comic stuff because people will get one and then will never buy again and will jump on late and change their mind in the middle of a story.
No.
Interesting.
I mean, the number you'll get for, like, a Marvel event book for number 1 is way different than the last issue. You'll order less than half.
Of which?
Of, like, Marvel event.
Okay.
Original Sin, for instance, or whatever the last one was, and
yeah,
the current one. I'm ordering, like, around 20 or so of, like, issue 1 or a little more than that. And, like, the last issues I'll order, like, enough for reservists and maybe 2 copies for the shelf.
Well, based on quality, I would say you can go down to like 3 on Axis, but that's just a personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned that. I haven't read any of that yet. Is that not that good, I take it?
I'm not personally enjoying it, no.
Yeah. Okay. It's like all events. I get sucked in a little bit in the beginning. I want to know what happens, but half the time by the end, I'm just like, okay, is this still going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was our general opinion on this show about what the hell was the DC event with the Forever Evil?
Yeah, that.
Oh yeah,
that went way too long. It seems
we need more 4-issue events.
Yeah, I would like that. That would be nice, and then it'd be focused in, you know, or it's like, especially lately, it seems like DC's been doing these things and they drag it out and then the last issue comes and then they shove it all into one issue. You know? They leave all this stuff on. Oh, boom, there. Let's have it all.
And oh, we forgot rushed. To do everything.
Yeah, it's all rushed at that point, so.
Yeah, the last one I really liked was from Marvel, Siege. 4 issues, and Bendis had to do it all in 4 issues, and I thought he did. He,
holy crap.
You know, you didn't have time to waste. He didn't have 8 issues to play around.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I would say that's one of the saving graces of Axis is that it's biweekly. But content-wise, like Chris noted, I think there's a lot of feet dragging, and I will probably in the last issue be like, boom, this all happened. But that's something I asked you about in IM. Is there within your regular core group of customers, is there a feeling that is there a return of event fatigue?
I'd say it's actually what seems to be what I normally see of event fatigue. People talk about it, but they still buy them.
Yeah, I'm sure. But,
like I said, it's going to be the same as the last one. There's a lot more buying the first few, and basically the event fatigue kind of, they forget about them in the beginning, they buy the books, and by the end, they're like, I'm done with this. Because I only have about 1 or 2 people reserving access. Most people are picking it off the shelf. But it's like, still already the majority of 1 and 2.
It's like that Woody Allen joke about the two ladies talking and saying the food here is horrible and the portions are so small.
Yeah. Why do we eat here every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
People bitch about there's so many of these, like you said, though, that those are the things that are selling.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue when you're, especially as a retailer, it's like, you know what? Give the audience what they ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you guys are buying this, we'll give you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's like people bitched about Batman when it was the issue or two that they had recently that was $5.
Yeah.
But I still don't have any of it anymore.
Yeah.
It's old.
Well, I admit I bought it. The digital one, and it I loved it. But you're right, that's ridiculous for that. I think they're gonna have to just watch it with the prices. They can't just keep jacking them up.
Yeah,
but you're right though. If people still buy them, then yeah, that's what's gonna happen. So
actions speak louder.
Mm-hmm.
Say everything you want, but if you do the opposite, we'll believe what you do.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
The kind of back to the cross media thing. The big movie of the year was Guardians of the Galaxy, which is by no means a household name. I mean, it's about as far away from a household name, even within the comic book community,
yep,
as you get.
And it's called. I was just reading it. I seen it on Facebook. What's it called in Japan? Interplanetary Unusual Attack Team. That's what they call it. Yeah, it's coming out on DVD here soon. But anyway, go ahead.
Did you find a new audience walking in the door saying, hey, do you have this comic book?
A new audience, but not specifically for the comic. It had started selling a little better, but it's just because I've been paying attention and noticing, hey, we're selling a few more issues of Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's people who are buying comics anyway who decided to jump on it, or non-comic readers, I can't say because no one told me.
Right.
But I do know that for non-comic people, they're asking for other Guardian stuff. The little bobbleheads that come out from Funko.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Groot and Rocket were gone within 2 weeks.
And
I know it wasn't just comic people.
I'm sure.
And I still have people coming in. I had a woman coming in yesterday asking for them.
Huh.
And I know we sold a Star-Lord. Yeah, we sold a Star-Lord this weekend, too, or this past week.
Huh.
Interesting. And the DVD comes out in a couple weeks here, so.
Yeah.
I know. I will be having it that day.
So, okay.
I will have my copy.
Here's a question for you, and I'm about Walking Dead. How big is that at your store?
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That is. It's not our biggest seller in terms of reservists, but it's up there.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people reserve it. I get several copies to the shelf, and almost always, we occasionally have 1 or 2 issues here and there that we stick around for a while. But yeah, it sells. And when the trades come out, I usually order 4 or 5 copies instead of just like 1, and they will sell within a few weeks. And I'm constantly reordering. We have the whole run in available generally, and I'm always reordering something from that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love the compendiums of those. I'm huge fan of that, collecting them out.
Yeah, the giant size.
Yes.
50 issue ones.
Yeah, I get the hardcovers. I got number 10. I still haven't read.
That's the only version we haven't carried is the hardcover. We have the little 6-issue trades, and we have the regular issues, obviously, and the compendium.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always get those when they come out. I really liked them.
Kirkman's a freaking genius. You go, you know what? I'm going to put out in as many formats as I possibly can.
Yeah, I know. He does the same thing with Invincible. It's amazing.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. Can't blame him.
Absolutely. Yeah, every 6 months is a trade, and then every year is the hardcover, and then every 4 is the omnibus. So, yeah, it's smart.
And that's actually the one that most non-comic people seem to come in looking for, is the omnibus one.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of funny, though, when I tell them when they've gotten the first two, and they say, when's the next one coming out? I don't know, 2 years?
Yeah. What? That's funny.
Mark that on your calendar.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that gets people like reading, that gets them acting like regular comic readers. They start going, well, what comes out sooner? What can I get next?
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of them jump to the trade,
mm-hmm,
because of that.
Yeah, I might have to do that. I don't know.
Because they don't want to wait.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I mean, looking at the guy, he looks like a complete dork and doofus, and then you look at his business plan, and it's stupid genius.
They
so.
Got another one of his books is coming up a TV show. I think The Outcast, isn't it?
Are they doing that one?
I think so.
I thought Prince of Thieves was the next one.
Oh, Thieves of Thieves, you mean?
Thieves of Thieves, whatever.
Yeah, that might be it, yeah. Well, then, of course, they're doing a spinoff of Walking Dead, which I think is one of the dumbest ideas ever. But that's just me.
Yes and no. I mean, depends if it dilutes it too much. But, I mean, really, Walking Dead's just a group of people in the land of zombies.
True.
So, it's like CSI. You could do 20 of them, I mean.
Well, yeah, that's kind of...
They do 20 of them.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah, they just did CSI New Orleans recently?
No, NCIS.
Oh, was it NCIS? Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's right. I forget. I got rid of cable, so I don't notice those anymore.
Yeah, I don't have cable either. I only watch the stuff I want to watch.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
I have rabbit ears. Rabbit ears and Roku.
Yeah, yes. Roku's what I have, yeah. Might have to get to...
Oh.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the web-enabled TV, so I got Netflix and Vudu right on there.
Mm-hmm.
There
you go. Yeah.
Same difference, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
We debated that, and then we bought a TV and went, oh, too late.
Yeah.
Can't get a new TV again. Not allowed.
No kidding. Let's see.
I only miss my football. That's all I miss.
So, okay, here's a question for you. What do you like to read?
Well, I mean, I'll read a lot, but what I'm actually getting is, I guess it's more telling. I was getting All-Star Western, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Hawkeye.
Right. Yes, they just...
So, in other words, just books that are eventually going to be canceled because they're so good.
Yeah. Basically, yes. That's usually my...
That's funny.
Go to my old boxes. Yes, there's a lot of stuff that gets canceled. You know, I go, oh yeah, there's only lasted 6 issues.
Yeah, they just solicited the Hawkeye omnibus with the entire series. Ooh. I've been wanting to get it in trade, but I think it's 50. Well, it's like half off on DCBS, but it's like $50. So
Al, are you the reason that X Factor is getting canceled as well?
Actually, I didn't even start looking at it until a few issues ago, so I guess you could say it's my fault because I wasn't buying it myself. But
so don't read Ms. Marvel, okay?
That's funny.
Don't read Ms. Marvel. Don't read Grayson. Just stay away.
Oh, Ms. Marvel. Sorry. I saw Lockjaw on the cover of the other issue, so I had a look at that.
Uh oh.
Gosh, darn you.
When did that dog get a mustache? Has he always had that thing?
Yes, I think so, actually.
Really?
What are you talking about?
Lockjaw, these women dogs. This big porn stash.
Oh, Lockjaw. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, he's had that from the beginning.
Really? I'm going to have to dig through some back issues.
I'm afraid so, man.
I don't remember
for that. The dog is
Let's see. Yeah, Hawkeye is good. I'm waiting on the last two issues.
Yeah, I'm still several behind on a lot of books. But.
Yeah, I am too. I've been hooked on video games lately. I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
Well, I've been getting home. My wife's been like not feeling like looking for stuff on TV because that's the problem of not having cable. You have to look for what you want to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's going on Netflix and she's like, "Here, put Doctor Who on." And I'm like, "Ooh, Doctor Who." And I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Okay, I'll just stare at this for a while."
Yeah.
You should try Inspector Lewis. No, that's on Amazon. Inspector Morse.
Yeah. That's good.
A little BBC action.
There you go.
So I try that one.
So are the weeklies? Do you pick any of those up? The Batman Eternal or the Future's End or the not so great Earth 2 one?
I've been reading the Earth 2 one because I was reading Earth 2 and World's Finest anyway. Mm-hmm. So I started reading that. I mean, it's only on 4 or 5 now, so we'll see how long that goes for. Future's End, I still skim through. I still kind of pick up and look through. I kind of just get annoyed whenever Lois Lane talks.
Yeah, it's...
Why?
Because she's a jerk.
Speaking of that...
Outing Robin to his girlfriend, it's not even like you have proof or anything. Or
yeah.
I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to do an interview in private and see what's going on. I'm just going to blab to the world. Hey, maybe you're in hiding because it's witness protection and you don't want to get shot in the head by somebody. But no, I don't care about that. I want to tell everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm a reporter. Well, okay, now that brings up possible spoilers. Have you read the last issue of JLA Justice League 3000?
I have.
Yes.
How about you, Murray?
I saw the last page, yeah.
Yeah. Lois Lane as Superman's arch nemesis. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
Big spoilers if you haven't read the book. They're,
yeah, she's the one on the cover that looks like, what's her face, from Gen 13, with the little pink thing in her hair.
Right, exactly. Instead of, so they've got all these DNA of all these metahumans, and one of the characters is trying to come up with somebody to fight the Justice League because they got, the bad guys got their butt whooped. So they get, Bane was one of them and Sinestro and blah, blah, blah. Well, the one they picked for Superman is Lois Lane. And it's hilarious.
We don't know her powers yet.
Or if she has any, I don't know. But anyway,
Don said that her powers would kick in. So,
oh, that's right, he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
It's classic. I love it.
And I was very happy with that.
And then Booster Gold and Blue Beetle show up right after that. I mean, it's great stuff, man.
Oh well, that's my reason. Daring, but yeah, that other part, the Lois Lane part was great too. But
yeah, it was just it was a nice little touch.
That book started off so weak and it's gotten so strong, and I keep touting it on the Facebook, but they've got the freaking Camelot 3000 characters floating around in there too.
Yeah, so. See, I didn't catch that the first time I read it. When you said that on Facebook, I went and read it again and realized that that's what it is. What? Yeah.
What issue?
The last couple issues. They've been hanging out in this Camelot.
Camelot 9,
but if you look at the costuming that they're wearing, it's Bolan's. It's Bolan's designs for Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot.
Yep. It took me
that's awesome.
I didn't catch it the first time either.
Yeah. They there's even a pose. There's a really really great page from Camelot 3000 when after they've kind of won the first war. Arthur and Guinevere are sitting on their thrones, and they're just looking bored as hell as people are telling them their little problems. They're having to figure out the solutions. And there's a in the late, not the latest issue of JL 3000, but the previous one, there's the opening, the shot of those two is they're sitting there looking bored on the throne, straight out of that Bowman pose from the original miniseries.
Yeah. You know, that it's funny how I finally got to read that. I was at one of those sidewalk sales at the comic shop I used to go to years ago and found the entire series in excellent shape, spread out in the boxes, and that's how I first got that. So I've got all of those, and that's good stuff. Like, so they did a bunch of those miniseries in the 90s, like Sun Devils, and I got another one like that. I forget. I got the last one I went to, on Free Comic Book Day this last time, I got at least the first 20 issues of Aryan Lord of Atlantis. So, anyway.
That's a haul.
Yeah, I got a whole, they had a fill alarm box for $45.
Jesus.
So I filled one full of stuff.
Oh, I would get killed if I brought a long box home.
Well, you know. That's one of the great things of not being married. So, anyway.
Oh, that's the advantage.
Yeah. That's about the only one.
Got it.
All my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a whole basement full down here, so.
I get two shelves on the bookshelf.
Working your way up there, man.
Yeah,
I don't have so much.
Pardon me. No, go ahead.
Okay, I only have so much room for floppies. Although she does let me have trades and stuff, mix them with all the books and all the shelves.
Oh, so I see. Add them around. Yeah,
they're allowed in there.
We need to set you up with some digital ones then.
Oh, that's been set up already too.
Your stuff, yeah, the digital long boxes.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. What else? What else do we got?
What are kids reading?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kids. We do have like a little section of like all ages books. So Tiny Titan sells pretty good. Adventure Time definitely sells good.
Yeah.
A lot of like licensed stuff. Angry Birds.
Oh, from IDW.
Skylanders. I think we sold out of that. Well, at least the first issue. My Little Pony. Pretty much sells out all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you gotta admit, that's actually adult men coming in and buying that. Come on.
50-50 on that one.
Yeah, a little bronies.
I was kidding.
Oh, come on. You got it. Bronies everywhere.
With the card game, they're the ones that really buy the card game, the My Little Pony card game. It's not kids buying it, it's bronies.
Wow.
Come buy it. I'm fine with that.
There's a card game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a card game of everything.
No, that's pretty much true.
I'm old. Decrepit.
Yep.
God.
And then don't let me tell you how old I was when you got married.
That's okay. I accept my ancient status.
Might as well. I don't have any choice, really, do we?
My first world comic book was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes 234 off the shelf. So.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm sure I did the same thing.
Al, how old were you when you joined APA LSH?
18 or 19.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got into that on Facebook recently.
Right at the end, it was like my first year in college.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing there?
Oh, because I was much older at that point.
Nice.
Yeah, there was only like two of us in like a team. Yeah, there was me and Ben. He was actually a year or two younger than me.
That's right. He was the other young guy. Yeah.
And he actually just came back to it.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he's married and has a job and works in California in, like, the film industry. I'm like, what the hell?
Wow. You know what? I think, actually, I have seen his name somewhere.
He writes articles and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get to it, but...
Interesting.
You guys got this whole little world going on out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. The Apple world. I marvel at the fact that the Apple world has not completely disintegrated in the face of Facebook and Twitter and stuff. I think it's amazing that.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
So. Well, I mean, it is a pain sometimes because I keep forgetting on deadlines and I miss deadlines every once in a while. Well, every other time. To like actually get them out and do it. But once you actually do it and then you get it in the mail, it's a nice feeling to get this big thing in the mail.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
That's always fun.
So what kind of stuff is still going on in the Apple world?
What do you mean? Like, what do people write about?
Yeah.
It's a wide variety. I mean, a lot of it's personal. A lot of it's kind of almost like a personal blog. Like, this is what's going on.
Good.
And then, of course, adding in, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, some people also get several people doing their own fiction. Some kind of fan, I guess you could say fan fiction, and some just original stuff.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
I think it's just kind of like a creative outlet for people, especially if they don't want to feel like doing it online, but they want to actually physically do something creative. You know, with the format of how they do it, or what pictures they put up there, or the way they arrange the their text to be, and the, you know, with pictures and the design. They were drawing, or they draw something to have like a cover.
So, what do you think of Justice League United Annual?
The annual, I have not read that yet. I have number 5. I have to get the annual.
It was okay. I wasn't impressed with it as I thought I was going to be.
I'm happy to see them back, but I'm a little anxious because it seems like every time they want to bring the Legion back in time, they want to kill somebody.
Oh, God, yeah.
I thought they explained it well, though. Like, I thought Mon-El's got this... Mon-El, at least, it made sense once you read the story, Mon-El's reasoning.
Yeah.
For why flying off all crazy makes sense. The rest of the Legion, right, maybe not so much, but Mon-El's reason,
mm-hmm,
at least... comes from a place that's not out of left field.
I felt it was out of character, to be honest with you, but that's just...
I did too, actually.
I'd say no.
Since when is he the hothead?
When Shady's involved, yeah, he gets... That's like his blind spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
God, I don't remember that. I mean... She's getting besorged on Apocalypse at the front end of the Great Darkness saga, and he didn't really seem to get too bent out of shape over it.
I want to say Legion number 247, just before. Sometime during the Joe Staten run, there was like she got smushed up by a sewer creature, and he went all banana cakes then. He was beaten up. So there's instances. I mean, I get he's not the total hothead, but it's not. I don't think it's out of character for him to be all banana cakes.
So there's precedence, is what you're saying.
I think so.
All right.
Well, I don't know. I thought Brainiac 5 acted weird too, personally.
Spoilers.
Yeah, but he's just going crazy again.
Well, yeah, there is that, isn't there? Okay.
But
I was gonna say it wouldn't shock me for a minute if it turned out that he was the big bad.
Why not?
Bring back Omega.
God. That's crazy.
Okay, if that means we get that Matt Reader lad back, I'd be happy.
Oh, wow. I like the character, but I just want to see the Legion back in some form. I don't know if I want to necessarily see another monthly, because they haven't been able to do that properly for about 6 or 7 years. But
yeah, I would have to agree on that one.
Yeah.
Or at least the way they're doing it anyway. That's a good point.
So it was the Legion, and what was your secret origin into comic books?
Go ahead.
Oh, in the comics itself? Well, like a lot of kids, I had relatives that had them, and they would just dump them onto me, because I always liked to read. So I just had like a bunch of random comics I read. Until I finally read what, you know, I was reading them, and I realized, you know, you could actually go buy the next one. So I went looking for the next issue of Power Pack.
Oh, Power Pack.
Because that's the one that made me finally go, ooh, I've got to get the next one.
Yeah, that was a good book.
So everything I blame on Louise Simonson. So the first one, I had comics before, but the first one I actually went out and bought, planning on buying it over and over, was Power Pack 31, I think. So we're talking like 85, 86.
Yeah.
That's not Dodson era, is it? No, that's pre-Dodson. Okay. Oh, Dodson was...
Yeah, That was around that time. It was still Louise Simonson and John Bogdanov.
Not Brett Blevins. Okay. No, Brett Blevins is on X-Force. So,
New Mutants.
New Mutants, right.
Yeah, he was on New Mutants at the time, which was the next one I went to, and then X-Men, and then then Inferno happened, and I ended up buying a whole bunch of other Marvel stuff and then jumping to a lot of them and then eventually worked my way over to DC.
Huh.
So you were Marvel Zombie before you were a DC guy then, okay.
Yes, originally I started with Marvel stuff.
Okay.
X-Books, you know, Power Pack and X-Books.
So you're reading all this real world type stuff over in the Marvel universe, because, you know, again, I mean, that was always their ballywick, is, you know, we're more real and gritty than the other company who's all bright and colorful. What makes you go and pick up something from DC?
Again, because I had all those random issues I had from people, like a whole bunch of different stuff. And the two DC ones that got me was Just League International number 21. Which is the last part of them going up against Darkseid and Apocalypse to rescue Mr. Miracle.
Okay.
And so that's one with, like, Darkseid and Orberon sitting there having tea. And so I went up
like I looking that. For...
And that was still at the height of when it was Giffen and Dematteis, or Dematteis. How do you say that name?
I think it's Dematteis, but I don't really know.
So they were still at the height of what they were doing with the Bwahaha League. So that made me laugh. And I had also both of the, at the time, both of the Legion Treasury books.
Oh, that damn Treasury book.
Yeah, the one that reprints the first Mordru, and then the other one with the wedding of Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl.
That's the damn Treasury, okay.
I've got that somewhere.
And I was a big fan of Star Wars, so it kind of reminded me of that, especially the wedding one. The
crossing art
and everything. You know, just looked very Star Wars-esque, so I went looking for that, and I ended up finding was the 5 years later Legion.
So
that's what was out
by
that point.
Wow.
With your age. Oh, man, Jesus. Now it's getting to me.
So, yeah, actually the first story I picked up of that one was The Quiet Darkness.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Lobo.
That's a tough one.
Oh,
to start
good
with.
Lord. Yeah, that was a tough one.
It was and it wasn't. It featured like three or four of them, though. So you really didn't have to worry about who was who with a lot of characters. It wasn't like there was 10 of them or 15 of them without costumes. There was you had Brainy and Ultra Boy mainly. So one was green, one wasn't green. It was very easy to figure out. It was very easy to go, oh, okay, that's Brainiac 5. Okay, that's Ultra Boy. That's pretty much who there is.
Huh.
In these issues. You know? And then at the end of that story, you had the reveal of the, was it, the Clone Legion, the SW-6.
Yeah.
That's a tough transition, because none of that was known to you, the SW-6 stuff.
Yeah, but the two treasuries, they had in the back of one of them, they had the whole thing from years ago, you know, who's who in the Legion, more or less, of like, here's the character, here's their real name, here's their planet. So I just was reading, when I read that book, I just have the treasuries on. I just keep going through the treasury going, okay, oh, Val Brem, okay, Corpo Kid.
You had a little primer sitting on your bookshelf there, awesome.
Nice. Pretty much. I mean, that's how I was able to get into it.
I'm jealous.
That is interesting. That is interesting.
So do you still, I mean, do you still read Marvel stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I still read Marvel. I have, I mean, I probably shouldn't say this because of where I work at a store, but I do have a subscription for the Marvel Digital Unlimited.
Okay.
So I read plenty of Marvel stuff on there as well, of older stuff.
I've got a coworker who is reading through Amazing Spider-Man from the beginning, way back when the Ditko Stan Lee years up till today, and he's kind of reading two packs. He's reading the old ones and the current ones, he's loving it. I mean, he said that the current stuff is so in line with what they were doing back then, based on the fact that he's reading them both at the same time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I have to go back. I got busy for a while, especially for wedding and other things I was doing. But for a while there, I was reading like a little Silver Age reading project with Marvel, going back with like Amazing and Fantastic Four.
Mm. Interesting.
And I love a lot of the Bronze Age Marvel, so there's a lot of that. So a lot of Jim Starlin.
Oh, Jim Starlin. Love me some Jim Starlin.
Yeah, oh, yes, I do.
Some of my earliest stuff was hand-me-down of Power Man and Iron Fist and Master of Kung Fu and stuff.
Sweet.
That I have to go find because they don't have that on there, obviously.
Yeah, they probably don't yet.
Why not?
Master Kung Fu. I think there's reasons that's why they haven't reprinted. Isn't there like issues with the what's his name, Sax Rohmer estate, because he's the kid of Fu Manchu and they don't own Fu Manchu.
Oh my god, it's like when they couldn't reprint that issue of DC Comics Presents with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe for the longest time.
Yep. It's the same reason Marvel Godzilla series isn't on there, and why they only had like, what, one or two printings of the Essential. Because they really don't have the rights for it.
Yeah, you know, I got a free copy of that once, of the Godzilla event, Essential, at a free comic book day.
Oh, nice.
I thought that was odd.
Yeah, I mean, they brought characters in from it because they're Marvel characters, but from what I see, they won't say the word Godzilla because they can't.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that's it, yeah.
Because they brought one of the guys, scientists, into the X-Men for a while. He was on their X-Club or whatever it was, a scientist, and
yeah,
they just mentioned giant monsters, but they don't say Godzilla.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Was that in that mediocre ex-scientist miniseries they did?
Yeah, what was the name of that?
X-Club. I think he was X-Club. In there. I don't know if he had died yet. He was the old Japanese guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know he died, but I don't know if he was dead before that or not. I never read that one.
Huh.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, I was only kind of like, I only popped through an X-Men in that period there. I wasn't too fit. Now I like it more.
Yeah, I used to read the crap out of that, and I wish I'd still kept all my Uncanny, because I had a real long run of it.
Nice.
All right, so as we approach the 1 hour mark, I'd like to get your...
Oh, sorry. Yes.
I'd like to get your forecast for 2015. I mean, they're Marvel and DC have just done a massive dump of this is what we're going to be doing in 2015, and it's all these freaking recycling of the events.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's like the Secret War thing.
Wars
Wars, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then they did that one, you know, they're hinting like, you know, that all the time travel stuff has broken the universe, and it almost looks like they're going to do a reboot almost.
I'm wondering, I mean, did you see the video for Secret War, the Battle World thing?
No, I saw a picture.
I saw they have a video on it, previewing the Secret War with the new Battle World, and they show all those promos they shot, like the pictures, like for, let's say, Civil War, you know, the one with Planet Hulk, or the new Infinity Gauntlet one, and then they show it all going on to Battle Worlds, like a different country.
That's
like the original Secret War, where he destroyed a bunch of planets and puts them together as like one planet for them. It looks like they're doing the same thing here. They're taking different pieces of history, or maybe different alternate universes.
Well, that would make sense. Going,
this is where Planet Hulk is, and over here is World War Hulk, and over here is Civil War World, and over here is Infinity Gauntlet Land.
You might get your Inferno back.
Ooh, Inferno.
Yeah, where was that? I just got through seeing that the other day.
You might get the Mutant Massacre back. All right.
Good lord.
Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse was good.
Age of Apocalypse was awesome. Hello.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
And that's in there, I know that.
Wow. So, do you anticipate that? I mean, obviously it sounds like you anticipate it as a fan. You're looking forward to that kind of thing as a fan. But as a retailer, how do you order that?
It's a little, see, it depends on if people tell you or not. I mean, as a retailer, it always helps when people say, I want this. Because then you know to buy it. When people don't say, you kind of have to guess. And it's a little harder with Marvel than DC, because DC usually it's still a little easier to reorder stuff. So like I said earlier, I said Gotham Academy, I ordered a couple, because no one had reserved it.
Right.
I ordered I ordered five. They sold out. You know, and I already had planned on there, because you kind of have to guess what you're going to do. So I already had planned. I would order five of one, and like four of number two, and then three and four, you know, dropping down. But because it was DC, once I sold out, I went, okay, and I changed them. Like, let me reorder number one, and I'll add an extra copy of two. And as long as they both sell, then I'll do the same, you know, bring up three a little bit as well, and, you know, retroactively back order, you know, add it on, so they still come out when the book comes out. So with Marvel, half the time the stuff is, you know, you really can't reorder too much Marvel stuff. They print lower, and you kind of have to, they want you to, you know, order extra copies now.
Interesting.
So it kind of makes it, if people don't tell me, I'm probably going to do the same I do at the other events. Order close to probably about what I ordered, maybe a little less, but from, what's it called? Maybe a little less than I ordered for number one and two of Axis of those. And then by the end, I'll be ordering, you know, five. And hope people do the same thing and not go crazy and love it all.
I won't
know if I can reorder it.
I can, at this point, I can guarantee you that ain't going to happen, but. With Axis.
You don't want to be stuck with like 20 copies.
No. Because then there was going to be the 50-cent bin or something, right?
Yeah, the dollar bun. Because also Marvel doesn't do returns. DC does.
Yeah.
I mean, not everything, but I can return books.
I've read that before.
And I mean, that's how a lot of indie guys will get me to try their I ordered a dozen copies of Eternal Warrior 1, and Valiant really, even though I like it, Valiant doesn't really sell well in the store. So I ordered a dozen copies of one because they said it was returnable. So I'm like, all right, I'll let see if people want to try it.
Yeah.
I'll have it out there.
That Valiant had a good start, but it kind of waned for me. I don't know.
I have to get back into it. I got busy with other projects and other podcasting stuff that I had to put aside some things I want, you know, extra things to read for fun, to read for shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
So again, I want to bring this full circle, because again, we're hitting that time. I don't necessarily, I mean, I think we could probably talk for another hour easy, but.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Is there anything that you want to talk about that's coming up at the store that any of the local New Jersey people might want to take a look at?
Yeah, because we're big in New Jersey.
We're also big in Japan, according to Alphaville, but that's different.
Oh, okay.
Woohoo!
Yoo! Anyway, continue.
Well, if anyone there is anyone fan of card games, especially Yu-Gi-Oh! Magic, we do have tournaments two or three times a month.
Cool.
So come down and play. We generally have a lot of people for both of them, or a decent amount at least. And, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh! One is my project, so, you know, make me look good.
Okay.
Come down and play Yu-Gi-Oh!
All right, then.
Do you guys ever have signings at the store?
Not yet. We haven't really had big ones. Like, since we don't have enough big enough, we have enough people buying comics. We don't have a big comic group there yet to do things like that. Like, I tried doing some stuff. I tried doing, like, a comic trivia night, but really only got one person at a time each time. So,
whoops.
I mean, really, for trying to do comic events, like, what are you going to do comic wise? I mean, it's not like it's an activity. I mean, unless you're doing like a book club thing,
mm-hmm.
What else is there to do?
True.
You know, or if you have like, you know, if you're little kids, yeah, we can do like make a Spider-Man mask, but.
True.
You're not going to get the older fans.
There's Free Comic Book Day 2015 coming up here in just a few months, so.
This is true.
We did do well Free Comic Book Day, and we did have, I don't want to say we didn't have anybody, we had one or two local indie guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Interesting.
They came, and that was cool. They did signings for people, and they did artwork for people and stuff, and everyone seemed to like it. So, but I don't think we'd be able to get any real big names.
I don't know, it's Jersey. Until DC moves out of there, you got to...
Yeah, you got a little bit of time. that's funny. Alright, well, I think we've exhausted our topics. So,
well, hardly, but there's a lot more.
Yeah, there's a lot more. We can have you back on.
Love to have you back on.
That'd be great.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, okay.
I like hearing my voice out there.
Yeah.
It does make ego good.
Yes, yes, it does, doesn't it?
A little ego boost, huh?
Yeah. It's always
exactly.
Good.
People
like get emails.
Really like you.
It's like when people send you email for the show. You're like, ooh, someone's listening to me.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't got one of those in a while, but I had somebody added to the group that said they enjoyed it, and I thought that was pretty cool. So
yeah, every time someone wants to be added to our Facebook, it's like, really? Wow, that's neat. That's.
I don't know, but do you know him? No, I don't know him.
Yeah, I had like a dozen people add to the Facebook group for my show for like one day, and I was like, what? Who are you people?
Yeah, well, there's something. Tell us about your show then.
Oh,
I thought you had my own one, but go ahead.
Yes, Resurrections, an Adam Warlock podcast. I do Adam Warlock stuff.
Yep, sure do.
I remember hearing about that now.
Gosh, he likes Jim Starlin. What a shocker.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, we're in the middle of Bronze Age. Well, actually, we're in the middle of Bronze Age. We're not even at the Starlin, actually. We're in the middle of Warlock number 4 or 5. So that's the Roy Thomas Town of Earth stuff.
Sweet.
So
we're
also
doing the...
Did you get like a fanboy chubby when they showed the cocoon on Guardians?
Oh yeah,
of the
Galaxy? Okay. I was very excited by that.
Yeah, that was neat, wasn't it?
Yeah, and actually, right now we're just finishing up covering the Thanos graphic novel because Adam's in that one.
Oh yes, Thanos graphic novel, right?
What did you think of that last Thanos miniseries? I'm sorry, not to stretch this out any longer, but
no, that's fine.
Which one was that? Oh, is that the God Among Us? Or the God Above Us one?
The one that's like his like exploring his youth on Titan when he decides to go out and start the first couple issues he's a kid, he's like a teenager, and there's the shadowy figure that kind of reminds me of Death from Sandman, like hanging around, and he's the only one who's...
Oh yeah, that one. I skimmed it. I have to still fully read it. It's so associated. If it's not Starlin doing them, I have always have like iffiness. Like really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm with it. I'm with you on that.
I'm more looking forward to Thanos vs. Hulk than that one.
Yeah, that actually that should be interesting.
Because I like his voice for Thanos. This kind of cultured thug who's
You
know, makes fun of people's aesthetic design. You know, I mean, make fun of the Badoon for how they their TV shows. But then we'll just go and kill them all anyway, if he has to.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's good stuff. All right.
Warlock podcast, that's cool. And what else? Anything else you want to promote quickly here?
Okay, real quick. Then one other one I do with a friend of mine, Four Color Fanboys at 4color.potwits.com. It started as us just kind of doing general whatever comic stuff we're reading, but right now we're actually focusing on... particular writers we like, so we're doing right now Warren Ellis, and we're talking about his Excalibur run.
Oh, okay.
So nice. We're going to be doing that for his stuff for a little while, and then we'll probably jump to another run or creator we like a lot and just do that for a little while.
Interesting. I'm ashamed to admit I've never ridden Transmetropolitan, which I guess I'm supposed to.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Oh, that's the main reason we want to talk about this stuff. We love that. Me and my friend and I just both love that one.
That's cool. Well, all right then.
Well, let me know if you guys ever do Garth Ennis. I'll be all.
Yeah, he does some good stuff. I like his Battlefields stuff really well.
I still need to read that one. That's all his war stuff, right?
Yeah, they're really good. He did a bunch of Dynamite, and I think he's got a regular series out now.
I know his war stories. I think start. Yeah, war stories from Avatar, which we did a lot of the first issue or two of that.
That's
so.
Right. He got the rights back from DC. That's right. That is a good book.
So what I ordered of it did sell, so I'm going to keep ordering it at least.
Yeah, cool. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. As always, you can send us an email, a podcast at tellsfromthelongbox.com, and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page with our growing, I don't know, we'd call it a legion, like a group, maybe. I don't know. What's smaller than a legion? A band? Yeah, a band squad. Of people. Yeah, that's it, a squad. There you go. People on Facebook. Or you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think. And that is that for this week.
Thanks, Al.
Yes, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And we're out.